Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Happy Monday. Hope you're doing well on this damp and rainy. I think that's pretty much what we are. We're damp and rainy. We're damp and rainy folk. It's like we've become Seattle. Except we get a little bit more sunshine. I'm glad, though. We need it, right? Like, we need it. Like, we bitch about it, but we really need it. And then, but, you know, what happens in 6 weeks after we've had this deluge of water for several weeks, and then all of a sudden it starts to dry out, and we're like, okay, we're out of our thing. You know, I read, like, Southern California's got 216% of what they normally get average rainfall for a year. It's already happened the last several days. It's like, all of this water's coming in. Are we collecting it anywhere? This is the question. Well, we can't. And it'll go to waste. And what took 7 years to build a drought is going to take, you know, 7 weeks to undo. But will we capture any of it enough to make us all smile? It's a good question. California. You know, I always say politics is you know, the stuff we see in D.C., right? You know, Trump and all of these people that go there. And they're the high-profile people. You know, they touch our lives so very little. They really do. You know, Trump may be one that touches our life a little bit more, some on the negative and some on the positive. There is that. But by and large, Trump and you know, even to a certain extent, President Obama and stuff, the actual effect upon our lives was negligible. You know, you're in charge of your own life. The economy is one thing they can influence both negatively and positively. But I always say there's ways around that, and there's ways that you can handle your business. But local politicians, for all intents and purposes, will have a bigger effect on your life than most of these people in D.C. ever will. And I always say, try to get involved in as much possible as you can in local politics if you're serious about politics and an understanding of politics, because this is where your bread and butter is made, right? Doesn't matter where you are, Rockland, you know, you could be Rancho Cordova, Sacramento, wherever it is, up in, you know, everywhere. You get involved in local politics because it matters. Because this is your city, your community, your municipality. These people will have a much more, they'll have a much greater influence upon you, your livelihood, et cetera, et cetera. And I always say, if you have a chance, get into politics at least once. Run for something once. Get involved, see what it's like on the inside, because I think it gives you a great basis and an understanding of things. But it's expensive. Case in point, great article in the LA Times about the cost. If you want to grab one of California's 53 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives, you better start saving. It is definitely a rich person's game. It is not a poor, it's a rich and connected person's game. You may not have to be wealthy, but you better know a bunch of wealthy people. The average cost to get a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives, California, here we are. The average cost, $1.5 million. Remember, we have the largest congressional delegation. $1.5 million. And that's the average. There was others who spent a ton of money, more than that. Highest were obviously Republicans. They had to spend a little bit more. Daryl Issa spent about $37.49 per vote, about $5.8 million total. He beat a surprisingly tough challenger, retired Marine Colonel Doug Applegate. He spent $1.5 million to lose. You've got Jeff Denham from Turlock, spent about $4.2 million. Elk Grove, Amy Barra, Democrat, she spent $3.9 million to win another term, narrowing and escaping and beating Republican Sacramento County Sheriff Scott Jones. He spent about $25.46 is what she spent. He spent about $8.87 per vote. It's expensive. It is definitely expensive. And when you think about it, Daryl Issa got 155,000 votes. He spent $5.8 million to get 155,000 votes. That's it. I mean, it's insane. People who spent big money and lost. Democratic of San Jose, Rep. Mike Honda, he spent, $3+ million? On average, almost $33.20 per vote. It is expensive. It is very expensive. These things are not cheap to do. Politics is a very expensive business. And they've gerrymandered it in a lot of ways. And these districts are at the point where if you're solidified and you're somewhat decent, you know, after a while, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money. Like the Pelosi's of the world and the Boxers of the world didn't have to spend. I mean, if they spend any money, they know they're not going to, you know, they know when they were up, they were never going to lose. But for a lot of people, when you get these tough races nowadays, it's a very tough situation. And now when you can get it where you can fight Democrats amongst Democrats, where they're taking the top two, get to fight it out. Well, you know what? There's Republicans in a lot of areas. You got to spend a ton more money. And if you're a Democrat in areas where there is a Republican stronghold of somewhat, you're going to spend a ton of money. It's not cheap. You know, politics, you know, when our founding fathers looked at politics, they thought it was a duty, right? Like you go, you work in the private, you know, world, whether you're a farmer or whatever it is that you do back then, a blacksmith, I don't know. And then you think to yourself, I've got some real world and some life experience, and I am not happy about the way things are run. And I'm going to go and do my bit at the state capitol, do my bit in my municipality, and I'm going to add something to it. And, you know, it's crazy. That's what makes it all the more amazing you see with somebody like Trump, who, yes, he spent money, but nowhere near the kind of money that Hillary spent, and he did it in a much different way, and he had no political, you know, again, no political at all experience. But get involved in politics. And if that means you start in a very small way, then do it. But realize that it is an expensive person's, you know, game. And your local reps are the most important thing that you're going to deal with. You know, whether, you know, in the county boards and all of those things matter. And that's why, you know, I'm telling you, people always talk about how nasty and dirty and gross politics is in D.C. And it is. But local politics are just as bad. That's why we need good people. But when you hear the cost of what it is to get a vote here, to get a vote there, and to spend that kind of money, no matter what you're doing, whether you're running for a supervisor, whether you're running for, you know, a school board, it's expensive. But we need more of that. We need more people that are willing to do that. And I think Trump has done something in a way that is eye-opening for all of us in the way that he took this campaign by storm, which may be good for people out there who, let's just say, they don't have wealthy friends. They may get a loan here. They may raise $25,000, and the guy they're going up against or the gal they're going up against has $250,000. And I think that there's ways about doing this that you can do this now. And he showed a path that it's not all about the bigger, the better, the most, you know, the person with the biggest bank is going to win. And get involved. I always try to tell people, get involved. I toyed around the idea when I was younger, but doing my show, I love what I do. And the fact that I do it both on a national level and here in Sacramento, I can't do it. And I feel I can do more from here than there. But one day, I'm sure there'll be that potential. And I think getting involved is absolutely. And the most important thing we can do, no matter what we do, in some way, shape, or form, to serve somewhere, whether it's in our community, it's at the state at large, or whether it's having an opportunity to go to D.C., is something that everybody in some way, shape, or form should figure out how to do, even if it's for a little while, to get an understanding of the politics of it all, but to see how the ins and outs of everything work. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chad@ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. You know, fake news, propaganda, whatever you want to call it, is everywhere. And there's a new report out about Facebook. And it's something I've been screaming about for a long time. And I think they finally got a report that hits it out the park. It's the Chad Benson Show. Yo, you know who this is, boy.
Chad Benson.
It is the Chad Benson Show right here on Talk 650 KST. Thanks so much for making us part of your Monday. Social media is a great thing.
It is.
The internet's the greatest thing. I mean, it is the modern equivalent of striking oil, the gold mine. It's just, it's incredible. And it brings us closer together. But I think we saw in this last election, and dare I say even now, more so than ever before, the evils and the craziness on social media. Look, we're in a place in our lives right now where for most of us, you've chosen a political side, right? You're on the right side, you're on the left side. There's some people who are independent and free thinking enough to go, look, I can see both sides of the aisle, and I understand both of them got a, you know, they don't have monopolies on good and bad ideas. Both of them have good and bad ideas. But very few of us are there, right? Very few of us are there. Most people pay attention to the screaming and the yelling. I get hammered from both sides. That's how I know I'm doing a good job. I get hammered from both sides. I get the Democrats that yell at me for saying something. I get the Republicans for yelling at me and saying something. And I sit there and laugh. It could be about the same thing, too. Right? Because heaven forbid you give an honest and fair answer and something that's real. But there's a new article out, and it's in CNN, and it's a new study about, and this was in the National Academy of Sciences, and they did a new data model, and a bunch of team of researchers from Italy mapped out and spread two types of content, conspiracy theories and scientific information. And what they say is the more we're connected, the less we know, essentially, when it comes to certain things. And I understand why. Look, everything we do now is made to order. How many of you cut the cable cord sooner rather than later? Many of you out there, right? You cut the cable cord. Why? Because I got Netflix, I got Hulu, I got Amazon Prime. What do I need all that stuff for, right? I want to consume the way I want to consume. I want to consume this way. I want to consume that way. You got your DVR. I want to consume the shows the way I want to consume them when I want to consume them. I don't want you to tell me I got to be here at 9 o'clock when I got other things I want to do, so I'll consume this when I want to. You've got made-to-order news. You're a right-leaning person, you're watching Fox. You're a left-leaning person, you got some CNN, you got MSNBC. That's where you guys go. You got the Huffington Post, right? You got Breitbart. You got the Blaze. You got the Daily Coast. This is what it is, right? Like, we're made-to-order people. And because of that, even though we're more connected than ever before, we're also far more narrow-minded, meaning that we're only hearing usually from one side of the aisle. We're only getting one side of something. And they just confirmed what I think a lot of us already knew, right? Like, we go, like, you put some on your Facebook, and yeah, there's some people out there that are trolls. Let's be real. Some people are contrarians, they're trolls. They want to start fights about things, but they're not really interested in the truth. But by and large, a lot of people nowadays, when people get into screaming and yelling matches, and when it's not personal, right? There's reasons when things are personal. I'm talking about when you talk about things like politics, right? Maybe it's a religion, maybe it's issue kind of base. I'm not talking about personal, like he said, you know, she said she loved me, she didn't, you know, she cheated on me, he cheated on her. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real issues that people get angry because in many ways what you do is you challenge their truth, right? Like, I'm challenging your truth. And you say your truth is this. I'm looking at data that says it's not this. And this is where you got your data. It's a website geared for you. Because all you do is you're looking for information that will validate your thought process. That's it. And I'm telling you something again, the contrary to what your thought process is. So you're mad at me. So what you do is you eliminate me. And then all of a sudden you look up and you got 400 friends, 800 friends, 900 friends. And you all have the same thought process. And you're all posting the same stuff. And it's all it's doing is it's not opening your mind, even though you're more connected as ever, and the information's out there. All you're doing is just you've narrowed yourself to, I believe this, and this validates that, so we'll put this up, and we go from there. And that's it. And that's what they found here. Despite all the opportunities to expand, despite the opportunities to look for differing point of views, and remember, diversity isn't the color of your skin. It's not your sexuality. It's not the religion. True diversity starts in your mind. If you're diverse in the mind, that's where diversity is. If you're open and accepting of different thought patterns that people have, You over here, you're a conservative. You over here, you're a progressive. But you know what? I understand both of you. I can see both of that. There's diversity right there. Doesn't matter what color you are. Right? Because very rarely do you see somebody on the left hanging out with somebody on the right and vice versa. And this, all this thing did was it proved it. It proved it. It said, look, the analysts showed that there are two well-shaped, highly segregated, most non-interacting communities exist around scientific and conspiracy-like topics. Meaning, you know, websites that have to do with whatever scientific topics there are, whether it's global warming, et cetera, that they're boom. I can find somebody else that'll give you a different point of view. Right? And here's the thing. Neither of them are probably all wrong. The problem is when you look at a lot of these things, it's not that you're so narrow-minded, none of what you're reading is truthful. Because in many ways, there's truth inside of there. The problem is it gives you half a truth. Right? It's like going to a baseball game and they ask you, did you win or lose? And you give your score. You don't tell that, yeah. We scored 8. How'd they do? We scored 8. And you think you won. The truth always lies somewhere in the middle. Sometimes it's to the right. Sometimes it's to the left. Sometimes it's 52% out of 100, it's to the right. Sometimes it's 52% out of 100 to the left, it's truthful. That's why I say read between the lines. Do a little research for yourself. We are so bent on being right. And that's where the anger comes in, because we get challenged when we're wrong and we attack. Yes, we are more connected than ever. And Facebook and every kind of social media that you can imagine has connected us more than ever before. But we are far from being more diverse and we're far from being more open-minded. In many ways, all we're doing now is we're bubbling ourselves. We're putting ourselves in bubble of the same thought patterns. And that's why I say break out of it. Break out of the thought pattern. It's how you're going to go further. That's how you know more. The more I know, the less I know, in a sense. Because I know more, and then I realize, man, there's so much more I don't know. It's like you think you get over that hill, you look, and oh my God, there's another big hill over there. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Tell you what, we got a lot of stuff to look at here. California, we're doing a lot of different things. Very interesting what's going on. Again, the battle between what this president's going to do, the repealing slowly but surely, and the unwinding. Can we be honest about the repeal in and itself of Obamacare? It's an unwinding and an untangling of a giant mess. And regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, let's be honest. It was a mess. While it helped some, it hurt more, and more were getting hurt down the road. And we realized that. A for effort, D for execution. A for effort, D for execution. And, you know, I look at Obamacare now, and, you know, they're talking about, that it could affect your employer, health care insurance that you're getting from your employer. There's a lot of things there's an unknown. And tomorrow or Wednesday, there is supposed to be the unveiling of what will be the repeal and replace thing and how that's going to look. I don't think any of us know what it's going to look like. I mean, I don't. I mean, I have heard so many different things from a health savings account to this, that, and the other. I don't think we really know what it's going to look like. And when I talk to people, and I talk to a lot of people, there is this fear factor, and rightly so. Let's be 100% honest. The Republicans have jacked the pooch on numerous occasions. I have heard on numerous occasions they have this, 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 and this, but I never see the replacement for anything. I really want to see a replacement. If you're going to replace it or you're going to untangle it, what are you adding to it? What exactly is going to be there? What can people hope to save on? Is there common sense legislation in there that's going to be good for everybody? And remember, in politics, people are going to get hurt. Not on purpose, right? Never on purpose. I mean, it's not going to, but there are going to be people that are going to be disappointed. While it may help X, Y, and Z, guess what? Q's hurt. That's just politics right there. It's not going to, because, and I think this is us, right? Because we've come to this nation where we always want, I need, I want, I need, want. And it's about me, which is fine. Again, your life revolves around you. So we take it personal when things go south. You want your doctor, you keep your doctor. Well, for a lot of people, that didn't happen. But there was some good things that came out of Obamacare. But by and large, most of it was a giant disaster. When all was said and done, and I always reserved my right, my biggest complaint, right? My biggest complaint when Obamacare came to fruition was I didn't want the government in my health insurance. Not the way that they were getting into it. Because they were getting into a way where there was a partnership and it was, you know, I feel that there was going to be a disaster, right? And then everybody said, look how slow it's growing as far as the cost. And we're subsidizing so much. So essentially the government's paying for a good portion for a lot of people's health insurance. And a lot of people, they got new insurance, right? We insured 20 million more, 30 million more. We just gave them free health insurance, called it insurance. We were already doing that anyways, but we made it seem like it was something different. But then you had so many businesses that were going, I want a waiver. And finally, when he's leaving office, guess what? It's finally going into full, no more waivers, full capacity, we're on go. And the explosion of premiums and the fact that, you know, when you keep kids on till they're 26 onto your mom and dad's, well, guess what? That 21, 22-year-old who should buy that $90 policy, and there should be lots of him and hers that do that because they really don't need a lot because they're relatively healthy and they rarely go to the doctors. Well, guess what? Those are the ones who they needed, right? They needed those people because you want the healthy to insure the sick. That's really what it is. I want to see what the Republicans have. I want to see what they have. You know, I hear it's a pick and choose kind of scenario, right? Where it's going to be a la carte kind of thing. Like you go to a sushi place, right? Yeah, I'm going to pick this. I want to pick that. I want to pick this. I want to pick that. And I think we can all agree. We're all frustrated. We are frustrated with all of this stuff. But now the clock is ticking. Now it's in front of you. Now it's right there. I want to see, how is this going to affect us? How is this going to be the right thing to do? Let's see this thing in full motion. What do you have for us? Because you've cried about it for 8 years. Now's the time. And it may be amazing. It may fall short. And I'm sure for some people it's going to fall short. For other people, it's going to work. Only time will tell. But now is go time. This is what you want. You've started the untangling of the mess, and it was a mess. Let's not pretend that it wasn't a mess. But let's see what's on there. Your time is now. And in California, you know, where a lot of people looking around, you know, with Medi-Cal, and they're thinking, well, what's going to happen here? How's this going to affect me? What are we going to get? What are we not going to get? What's going to be taken away? What's not going to be taken away? What's going to cost us more? What's going to cost us less? We all worry about that, right? Remember, 5 million Californians, through Medi-Cal, gained health insurance. They're worried. They have every right to be worried. I understand that. Look, in this day and age, we as a nation, we shouldn't have people going without. We shouldn't. We're the wealthiest nation on earth. We're the most vibrant nation on earth. We have more freedoms than we could shake a stick at. We shouldn't have people go without. But we do at times. And some of that's by choice. Let's be real. You know, a lot of these people who don't have, there's people out there who want to live off the grid. All right. There's people out there who want nothing to do with anything. I've always said that I think we could come up with a private public option that works for everybody. Give people choices. I'm watching the English League this weekend. And having lived over in England and played soccer over there, I look and I see this big billboard for Vitality Health Insurance. Well, I'm like, wait a minute here. Health insurance in Britain? You guys are an NHS. I was part of the NHS. Still have my card somewhere. I was part of the NHS. That's the National Health Services. People don't want to wait. People don't want to wait 3 years to get their knee fixed. People don't want to wait 3 years to get their hip fixed. People don't want to wait to see a general practitioner, especially if they're really sick. When I got sick over there, I'll share one time. I got very sick over there. And when you're in the National Health Services, when you're in that what, you know, the NHS services, let me tell you how it works. So I got really sick. And I got very sick, like you could not believe. And I wanted to go see my doctor. My doctor was up the street. I was living in Camberley, Surrey, and I wanted to go see my doctor. I called my doctor. 6 weeks for me to get in. 6 weeks. I lost 20-some pounds in about 6 weeks. I was so sick. By the time I figured I was going to get in, I flew to America, saw my doctor here. I had gastroenteritis really bad. Pills, we were fine. And then about 3 weeks later, I got an opportunity to go see my doctor over there. It was frustrating. It is. Your choice is, here's the thing. We like the fact that you can pick this, pick that, and here's my choice. I want to go get a second. There's no second opinions, right? Unless you have the money to get a second opinion. There's very little of that over there. If you're sick, you wait your turn. You can't, this is my doctor. Do you have another doctor in the group? There is no other group. You're going here. This is it. And for some people, that's okay. But for us who've been spoiled with choice, that's the frustration level, right? We don't want that. But I think there is a way to public-privatize things. I think there's a way that we can insure the people who can't be insured. I think there's a way that we can make sure that the sick are taken care of, that make sure the people that are old and can no longer take care of themselves are taken care of, that make sure the young get what they need. And there's a way to do it. But this is the billion-dollar, maybe trillion-dollar question in D.C. that affects us, our life here in California and elsewhere. How do we go about doing it? Because to be honest with you, nobody should go bankrupt. And if you look at most bankruptcies, they're because of medical expenses. It's a big portion of it. Nobody should go bankrupt. And nobody should have to sit there and see their child struggle and whether or not they're going to get them the medicine they need. Or their grandma and grandpa. Nobody should. There's ways we can do it. And this is where, if you're a conservative, you're smart, I think there's ways we map out a much better way to do this. But it's a thought process and common sense. And I look, and the more I see, I don't know if it's there. I don't. You know? And so many people, you know, we're talking around here. It's like, man, my premiums have gone up. And now I don't even know what to do because I'm getting ready to pay this premium. But all of a sudden, this thing's getting unwound. How's that going to affect me? That's all of us, right? Because we're so confused. It's insane. Welcome to the modern world of politics. And I don't know what's going to happen here. Again, in California, we are going to be butting heads with this president across the board. And we are going to be the thorn in his side. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. You can also call the program 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. A little wrap it up. Talk about God. And by the way, what does President Barack Obama get now that he's no longer president? The Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
President Barack Obama is now former President Barack Obama. I was down in the Palm Springs area this weekend, and that is where he is currently. He and his I used to live in Rancho Mirage down there. That's where he is holed up for the next couple weeks, I guess. He can play some golf. Got really bad weather, so it's very interesting. You know, you fly from not so good weather thinking Palm Springs is the place you go, thinking it's going to be the great weather, and it's not so good weather. But he's now the former president, and he's got a little pension. His pension payment's going to be $207,800 for the upcoming year, about half his presidential salary. And this is how they work it out. First of all, he gets transition expenses, which is this. It's his way of helping adjust to post-presidential life. Now, he does get lifetime Secret Service protection, as well as allowance for such things as travel, office expenses, communications, and health care coverage. And it depends on who the president is. For instance, Jimmy Carter Spent about $200,000 in all of those expenses last year, while George W. Spent about $800,000. Carter doesn't get health insurance because you had to have worked for the federal government for 5 years. He only worked for it for 4 years. So it is interesting. Now, how long will it or won't it last? And that's one of the other things, because apparently there's a bill that's out there and that was passed that essentially the payments capped at 200 grand a year, right? So you're a former president, you're getting 200 grand a year, and you get $200,000 a year for other expenses, which is also capped. But, and there's the but, if you start to make money, and which most of these presidents will, let's take a wild guess. What do you think President Obama, the Nobel Peace Prize president, is going to command a speech? 250 to 500,000? Probably, depending on what country wants to throw him some, probably a million, right? So once you eclipse a certain amount of money, you're done. You don't get any of the extra 200,000 or any of that stuff. You'll still get your pension because that's part of the deal. It's capped, and you'll get a cost of inflation. But outside of that, that's it. So that's what they get. President Trump says he's declined his $400,000 a year payment. I'm sure he'll probably not take the pension, although it's probably there anyway, so he probably will get that, as part of it. I don't know. Can you opt out of that pension? So we'll see. So every dollar that a former president earns above a $400,000, right? So every dollar they earn, they're off the hook for that $200,000 extra. Doesn't seem like a lot. It's one person. But still, you're rolling out of there. But you figure for 8 years of the hell that you've been through, don't you think you deserve a little something? That's what the book's for. What do you think his book's going to be? How much do you think that's going to be? Because, see, here's the thing. You'd pay money to read a Clinton book that was honest, not written by the Clintons, or at least written by them in a way that they're like, I don't care anymore. We're done with public life. Here you guys go. You want the straight skinny on stuff, right? But you're not going to get that with the Clintons right now. On the opposite side, I think you may get that with him. So what do you think he's going to get? $5-10 million for upfront? I would assume so. He'll be doing all right. God, do you believe in God or don't you believe in God? In 1978, mathematician Kurt Gödel, he died, but he left behind a huge, long, complex theory based on modal logic. And here's the deal. His whole thing was he wanted to build something mathematically, an equation that would show or that there wasn't or that there was something else, a higher power. He used mathematical equations that are extremely complicated, but the essence is that there no greater power than God can be conceived. And if he or she is believed as a concept, he or she can really exist then, right? So Dr. Gödel put this equation together, and it looks hieroglyphic-y and a little bit Russian, upside-down words. I have no idea what it is. I mean, to even look at it, it's a half smiley face with a P, with a Y down the center of it, with two quotation marks, and then there's boxes and an upside down A and an X, and there's like 5,000 of those, right? You have no idea what it is. Well, two computer scientists have used it, have put it together, been working on it for years, and this is what they've come up with. The researchers now say that, yes, there is indeed a higher power. Now, what that power is, they do not know, but they believe it does add up to there is something else besides just up. How they get it from math, I do not know. They said it's totally amazing from this argument led by Gödel. All this stuff can be proven automatically in a few seconds or even less on a standard notebook. I don't know how you do that. He goes, when he did it, they said, I didn't know it was going to create so much interest, but it has. And he says, but it's definitely something. And as far as they're concerned, based on this theorem and this logic and this mathematical equation, that yes, there is some sort of higher being, God, Yahweh, whatever you want to call it. Everybody's got their own thing, right? That's what it is. Everybody's got their own thing. Solid fun show today, kids. I was reading something. I found this to be very interesting. 1 in 45 California women were a part of the march on Saturday. So one in five. In fact, it's so big that it's bigger than the size of San Francisco. How many women went or Sacramento? That's how many women went. One in 45 women participated in the event on Saturday. That's crazy. We are definitely a politically activist state. That's for dang sure. Wet today. Hopefully not wet tomorrow. Hopefully get some respite. We're still slogging out of this thing. You can check us out on Facebook, The Chad Benson Show. C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Go there, like it, Chad Benson Show. Simple and easy. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter. You can check us out there. We got a poll up right now. It's 50-50 as far as who will win the Super Bowl, Falcons and Patriots. Come on, Patriots. I think you know where my allegiance lies. Just letting you guys know that. You can email the show, chad@chadbensonshow.com. And you can text us always, 323-538-2423. Have a very nice and wonderful Monday. We'll be back here tomorrow. Try again. Do better. We'll promise you that. For Anthony, for Phil, my name's Chad Benson. Have yourself a great Monday. It's Talk 650 KSTE.
The Chad Benson Show.